It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Oh, Tony, it's me. Did you think you were zooming? Sorry.
But we do have to wrap up on time. I have a thing right after this. Assuming he still has air. All right, never mind. That's not. I like that she got, like, you can attest to this. While we were setting up, she climbed into my lap. And was perfectly happy. And as soon as I started recording, she was like, nope. She's shy. She's right next to me still, but not on camera. So I didn't really have any cold open stuff, and the things I were toying with seemed weird now. So should we just talk about Liz out of the gate?
Seems like it.
All right. Well,
I mean, it's just an hour and a half ago.
That's the thing. We may have scooped some of your other sources, depending on when you're listening. Queen Elizabeth II has died. And I mean, I'm fascinated, and I'm always sort of sorry when somebody I don't hate dies. But she also was 96 and in ailing health. So, I mean, it's not one of those like, oh, it was too soon.
Right.
I am really amazed to see what will happen. Like, the world is completely different than when she took over as monarch.
Yeah.
There are few people alive today who remember when she took over. There are tons of people who died while she was queen who were also born while she was queen. Like, it's,
well, I mean, she came in 1952. My dad was, you know, 6 or 7, and he doesn't remember.
Yep.
He does not remember her dad. He doesn't really remember, like, that change happening. It's, so even in his mind, she's always been the sovereign. And wow. I mean, because so I was doing homework, and somehow I saw on a news feed that's just running in the background that something was going on with her. And so I started the BBC, and it was talking about, yeah, she's in ill health and everybody's showing up at wherever she was. She was in
Balmoral, which is their castle in Scotland.
Right. And it's like, wow, this is really serious. And I was just doing my homework while I had the BBC playing in the background. And then around 12:30 our time, they just said that she died, you know, she passed away. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it. I don't know why this happens to be, because whenever I say these things, you always remind me, well, this, that, and the other. Well, like, she's very old and she's ill, you know, like when the war with Ukraine started, I was like, I'm really surprised that happened. He said, well, Crimea. And I said, yeah, I know. But part of it is that happened so long ago and then nothing else happened. I mean, you just, things will happen to make you think, well, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
It does.
Trish was just saying, she's like, I still, part of me thought she was going to outlive all of us. Because she's just never. And I mean, she's been going to go. I mean, again, 96. They kind of had a big deal for her 95th birthday. So it was going to happen. But I will say, from the point at which we were like, it could be soon. To the point at which it happened was a very short span of hours.
She was just greeting the new prime minister 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, she was, nobody was helping her get around. She was there. I mean, it was, you just thought, okay, I mean, she's 96.
That's a thing about getting really old also, though, is that you're very fragile in a lot of dimensions. I have had a lot of older relatives who we were sure they were going to die from a particular thing, and they went to the hospital, and that was what going to happen. And then they recovered from that, and then very soon afterwards, something completely unrelated got them.
Yeah.
Like, to the degree that it's a little bit of a pattern in my family, which is weird. But, like, you can... when you're at that point, the wrong infection, the wrong injury, the wrong situation can just...
Well, the one of the first things... So in the commentary, they were talking about how Charles really becomes king right away. So it's not, there's not like a period of time where there's no sovereign or whatever. He's the king right away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they... But they also talked about how, you know, on his coronation, he could take a different name.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, fairly common. But then, like a like an hour after the BBC announced that she'd passed, the prime minister came out and she called him Charles III. And then it was confirmed right not long after that, that's what he's going to be called.
I mean, Charles to be III. Fair, they probably have had this worked out. Because they knew it would be soon.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, he didn't have to be Charles.
I was confused. I thought something had happened and we were skipping straight to William. I thought Charles wasn't in line anymore. But
really?
I don't pay very close attention. I watch a lot of British comedy and panel shows. So this stuff comes up. But I don't. I've always found them an odd. I find the royals in general weird.
Well, Charles is 73 years old. Yeah. He's 73 years old. I mean, he's just 3 years younger than my father. I would have, you know, if what I would not be have been surprised if what you're saying was true. Like if because of his age, he said, you know what, skip me. because the thing is,
I thought, yeah,
William is 40.
But, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's, you know, nobody is going to. In fact, I
but
think
what's
they
his
said,
oldest? George. George is like eight. He could run things, right? Isn't he like eight now? So
William's,
they all went.
William's the oldest, but
I know. But William's first kid. He's the next in line, and I think he's like eight or something. So he's good.
Well, they did say that Charles is going to be the oldest person to ascend to the throne in British history.
I mean, that makes sense.
So,
because before his mother, people didn't live this long. Straight up.
Well, if it skipped William and went to his grandson, that probably wouldn't be the youngest sovereign ever to take the throne either.
No.
But
also, I mean, I'm very torn in my thinking on this. I'm like, there's so much they have to do, and it's going to be so expensive to change things over for this. And simultaneously, I'm like, so what the fuck actually is he going to do? Like, what is his job?
I don't know. Like, I mean,
it's such, I mean, I kind of do know, but I mean, I'll put it this way. After an appropriate time of grieving, this seems like a real great time to revisit the whole, should we get rid of the monarchy thing?
Well,
I mean
that's
ideal.
That's but, easy for Americans and for you and me in particular, for because of our perspectives to say. But I mean,
no, and I freely admit, none of my business. It's the British people's business. And but what I'm saying is, there are a lot of British people who would also think that.
No, I you know
and
you're
I'm
right
like,
about that.
If you're gonna do it during the succession, seems like the opportune time rather than, so you've been king for a while, but fuck off.
Well, it Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in many ways, Queen Elizabeth II invented the modern monarchy, but modern monarchy, that shouldn't even be a thing, really. I mean, kudos to her for inventing it. But
they're not the only one.
No, I know, that's right. But I mean, she really set the tone.
Which are a lot less modern.
Yeah, she really set the tone, I think, for what? If you're going to still have a monarchy, what it would and maybe should look like if you should have one. But here's the thing. Like, I can't imagine William. I mean, whenever it happens that, you know, God forbid his father passes and then he takes the throne, I can't imagine him just thinking, yeah, let's just do it like we've always done. I just can't even, I can't imagine him doing that. But maybe he would. I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, he's not as challenging to the whole thing as his brother is,
in that he's still part of it.
I don't get the impression that he has that many disagreements with his brother about the whole thing, so that's really hard. I mean, I can kind of see Charles doing it, I guess, but he would have to anticipate that his son would, I don't know, it's weird to think about what's going to happen, but probably nothing will happen. They'll just keep going like they always have.
Well, but shit tons of things will have to be remade and for starters, every single post office box in the UK will have to be redone. They all say ER on it.
Oh, do they?
Her initials, yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
There's a ton of stuff like that. There's the money, that's going to have to change.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. There's lots of things with her name or her initials or her face on them that, at least by tradition, are supposed to be the current monarch.
I was thinking about this too, right after she passed. I was thinking, you know, this isn't just about, like, I was thinking, it's going to be so weird thinking of Britain having a king. Right? They haven't had one in our lifetime, obviously. But that's not just that. It's that if you asked any ordinary person on the street to name a British monarch, not Queen Elizabeth, they'd probably still mention a queen. They'd probably mention Elizabeth the First or Queen Victoria. You know,
I mean, Henry the Eighth gets some play, but
I suppose. But yeah, I mean, queens seem to hold a bigger place. I don't know if that's in credit to Elizabeth. I know, I don't think so. I mean, it's just like the whole 19th century is called the Victorian era, you know, and then before that, what do we think of? Oh, the Elizabethan era.
I mean, because again, was ready. The monarch that just never died. And in fact, a few years ago, Elizabeth passed Victoria in longest reigning monarch.
Right.
They would make jokes about how it's counting down the minutes and she's just sitting in front of the big portrait, and then when it hits, she has them take it down.
So yeah, I mean, I think for British queens sort of loom large in at least American imagination and association with Britain. It's just going to feel weird not just to have a king, but to know, for us, you know, in our lifetimes, that's all there's going to be is kings. There's not, you know, how would there ever be a queen in our lifetimes? That's just weird.
I mean, there was for most of it, for half of it. It seems weird to say in our lifetime, because we've used a lot of it and there was a queen that whole time.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just going to feel really odd to me.
I like British queens. Alan Carr, Joe Lycett. You know.
That's good. Good one.
Elton John.
I have to say, I was sad. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't like hearing of anyone dying or, you know, or whatever, but I mean, like, sad in a way that was a little bit surprising.
It is quite rare to have someone who is very famous, very rich, for a very long time, who has been born into privilege and lived their whole life in privilege, that hasn't done something that I think is super shitty. It's quite rare. And Queen Elizabeth managed it. I didn't fucking hate her or have reasons to suspect why I might hate her, other than the general, you know, eat the rich, fuck off with your privileged lifestyle shit. That's not true of most of the rest of the British family. I mean, certainly wasn't true of Philip. Wasn't really true of Charles. Definitely not true of Andrew. So I think there's something to that. Like, she was around in the public eye for a very long time and didn't make me hate her. And that's big.
Well, they're saying a lot of things about her that you would expect, you know, of how great she was and emblematic she was. But the fact of the matter is, they're usually when people, you know, one of the things I have been to so many funerals in my life. I went to the first one when I was 2 years old. So, you know, I've been to lots of funerals and I've heard a lot of speeches about a lot of people, some who I knew pretty well and who I knew did not deserve the eulogy they were getting. Sometimes in just small ways, right? Like, oh, and they never complained. Oh, yes, they did. They complained all the time. So, you know, little things like that. Sometimes in big ways. Like this person, nobody liked this person. They're pretty much all showing up to this funeral to support basically the wife or the kids that they did like or whoever, but they did not like this person. And the eulogy is just a huge, it's terrible.
When somebody's really shitty, I think a good way to do it is to get a minister who didn't know them and get them to do a eulogy. Because then it's like not bad, but it still is just factually accurate. And we don't have to fuck around with all that.
But so they're saying a lot of stuff about her that I mean, I don't have any issues with Queen Elizabeth II, mind you. I just have an issue with hyperbole in remembering somebody. I don't think that's necessary, really. But some of the things she's saying strike me as being true in terms of how she really was very much emblematic of at least the what do I want to say? That picture of Britishness, it's a huge stereotype. It probably applies to nobody in all of the UK except for her. And she really sort of, like, you know, she really was that. And sometimes I think a significant number of people in the nation kind of needed her to be that. That's weird for me to say since I was, you know, I'm not British myself, but you get what I'm saying? That kind of stuff was said. And I seem to remember things in the news or events in British history where, yeah, that is kind of true, that she was almost this mythic figure that was like personified. Well, Britain at the time, and really kind of helped some people get through.
I think she was fairly universally loved. There are people who didn't like her, but I feel like those almost entirely are people who just didn't like that there was a queen, which is a legitimate grievance. But I don't think there were a lot of people out there who are like, she's bad at queening. Like, she's a bad queen. I wish we had a different monarch. I don't think that comes up hardly ever.
Is that the title? She was good at queening or something?
She was good at queening. That might be. That's solid. I didn't even think. But that's... Except I said she was bad at queening.
So, well, I know, but...
But yeah, we have to switch it. No. That is my point. Elizabeth II was good at queening.
Yeah.
How much you value queening as an occupation and how much you think it is worth to pay a queen to queen is a different issue. But insofar as if you have a queen, she was good at queen.
Yeah, I don't know. It was sad. I was saddened to hear it. It was a little, I don't know why I was a little just mildly shocked when it happened. I suppose it was the timing of it. I mean, what I was hearing was that she was sick, that everybody was showing up. I mean, so there was no doubt what was going to happen. No doubt at all, because they just wouldn't have been reacting that way if she wasn't that sick. Or if she hadn't already passed and they weren't saying, which I think was the case for a little while there. I think she'd actually, I think she'd been gone for a little while before it was announced by anybody.
They were trying to figure out if they could Weekend at Bernie's it for a little while. And then they were,
I don't think that's going to work. It was probably about making sure the people got there. They wanted to get there. They didn't want someone hearing on the way about it or whatever, even if they already knew. But like, yeah, like I said, it was like 12. It was, I think it was 12:30, 12:31, too, whatever. Because I looked at the clock as soon as they announced it. And I was just real. I was flabbergasted because I thought it would take, you know, I thought it would be like tomorrow, or I'd wake up in the morning and find out she passed overnight or whatever. But no, it was, I was quite affected by it. And I'm kind of surprised. I don't think it's just because, though, that she, that I didn't dislike her. I think it's because, I think I'm just in.
She's a fixture in your worldview.
Yeah. And
she's
also
a thing that has been there your whole life and now is not. I mean,
also, I think I'm going through a little bit of a stage in my life where things ending, it's a little more meaningful, right? You know, it's all signaling forward to other things that are going to end in my life, and not me in particular. I mean, although that is one thing.
We still talk about William spoilers. In fact, it came up this weekend.
Oh, okay. But I mean,
and we had to explain to my nephew Will that we weren't talking about him, but then we were like, although also
spoilers
for Will.
But I mean, I'm going to experience a lot of endings before that happens. And I mean a lot that I don't want to experience, but that I'll have to. So a lot of things that end now,
She-Hulk, the new spinoff of Game of Thrones,
a lot of things that end now, and they don't have to be someone's death. They can be, you know, they can be any, just about anything, you know, immediately make me think, yeah, I mean, this is the phase of my life where things are going to happen like that. And, you know, it can affect me more than it might ordinarily do. But, yeah, it's.
Luckily, you're being visited by the presence of God right now. He left.
So I, you know, of course I was immediately, I think I said something, you know, I texted some people.
You texted me.
I texted you, but I texted you first, actually, before I even texted my wife or anyone else.
You're like, Tony's going to want to know this.
Well, that is what I thought. I thought out of all the people that I would reach out to say, oh my gosh, this just happened, I figured you'd be the person who would be the most interested. Although everybody I texted were people who I thought would want to know. Like Abby, I was sure she didn't know. And even my family, I knew would be interested in knowing.
Camilla Parker Bowles. Yeah.
I texted you first. So, I mean, I always wonder what you're going to, as a Anglophile, I always wonder how you're going to respond, because you seem to have more of an affinity to Britain and the British people and all that stuff than I do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still don't get the monarchy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I always say that.
And I am sad because she was my favorite British royal. But I'm not. I mean, what I'm getting as I'm older is a 96-year-old lady who never had anything to do with my life died. I mean, other than the fact that she bears a passing resemblance to my grandmother, who's also dead. So, like, I'm sad. I'm like, oh, you know, end of an era, blah, blah, blah. And I am sad, or at least wistful in that way. And definitely more so than I would have been if it was Charles, or I would have thrown a fucking party if it was Andrew, especially if it hurt. And I'm fascinated on a cultural level as to what is going to happen next.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know. But what one thing I have discovered is that I never know how celebrity deaths are going to affect me. People that like I'm a very big avid fan of, they die and I'm like, oh. And then other people that like I barely remember or whatever, I'm like, oh, that one really gets me. I don't know why. Yeah, so it wasn't, I mean, and I'm having a pretty shitty day anyway, so for no reason. It's a neurochemical thing. I'm convincing myself it's a shitty day. So I think she died today just to make my day worse. So that's where we are.
Maybe it was synchronicity.
People do that a surprising amount of times.
my day's not great either. This is the penultimate week of my quarter, which means the way that my school organizes things is, you know, I'm thankful that they don't save big projects to the very last week. They'll, mm-hmm. they'll make it the second to last week. I am grateful for that. But of course, both classes do that. So, you know, so that's kind of stressful.
Yeah. So you're saying you have to go? You got shit to finish?
When we're finished, I'll finish it. Right. This is a nice break. But it was very distracting, of course, while I'm working on these things. For this to happen, and I don't know, it makes me sad. I think part of it is too that one thing that makes me sad all the time is how on our planet
keep it light
how on our planet so few of the top spots are women, you know, and. Now we turn over and a man's going to take over and it's like, dang it. You know, it really does irk me, honestly, that's true about not just, you know, not just the United States with our really pathetic female representation in politics, but really all over the world. I mean, some places do it better than we do, obviously, but it's, you know, it's a problem. And I don't know. I think that's a little bit part of it too. I get discouraged by that fact of our global culture. I mean, you were talking one time, we were talking recently, I was saying something about the West and some cultural thing. And you said, well, you thought it was sort of a global cultural thing. And I forget what that thing was, but I've been thinking about that ever since you said it, about this idea of some kind of what?
You forget what it was, but you've been thinking about it.
No. I've been thinking about the
Not
concept
very
of,
well.
I've been thinking about the concept of a global culture that we can talk about. I don't remember that specific thing, but the general idea that you were presenting of that it was a piece of a global kind of cultural thing, which I don't normally think about because, you know, my whole perspective on human nature and human behavior and everything is that it's, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, it's very bottom up. And the people who want to insist it's not are just trying to force something that's not really true, except that by trying to force it, they do harm a lot of people and they cause wars that kill a lot of people and all kinds of other problems.
That is definitely what I do when I refer to it.
But
that's what I'm shooting for.
So I don't think very much. I wouldn't think that. I don't think very much of a global culture, and I tend to think that such a thing would be almost impossible to exist. But when you started talking about it, I thought, well, maybe there are some things about, because there are definitely global trends, like I was just talking about how you know, when if a country has a top leader or whatever, it's not as often a female as you would expect it would be. I am curious to know, because I've been meaning to ask you in whatever context, whether it's at breakfast or on here, what elements you think there are to this global culture that you're talking about? Because like I said, I don't really think about a global culture.
Well, and I am glib when I say that. There are definitely chunks of the world that have very distinct culture. I think largely is those attached to economics. When I say global culture, I basically mean the global economic marketplace. and that doesn't cover the whole world. There are parts of the world that have little to do with that, and I think the more that's the case, the more your culture is going to have other distinctions. Unfortunately, patriarchy is a huge one. Patriarchy and, to a large degree, a lot of the fundamentals of capitalism are a huge part of this sort of cultural tradition. But a lot of Western culture and colonialism and imperialism. So the West was the big world superpower for a long time, still arguably is, and they went out and took over other colonies and made them do things like they did them. And then as time went by, some of them got free, but by then they had established these traditions. And now they're still being conquered just economically now. So we are selling them all of our stuff. And so it becomes, and in some cases, there are strong attempts to emulate that. That there are places in the world that are arguably not part of Western culture, where it is still considered, it's idealized to emulate Western culture. And there are places, I think, particular parts of South America, parts of Africa, and huge swaths of China in particular, I think, that are outside of that to a degree. But just basic, I mean, a lot of the real basic building blocks, the concepts of private property, the idea of two-person heterosexual marriage as the standard, the ideas of inheritance, the ideas attached to patriarchy in general, the industrialization and mechanization. I don't know. Megan automating and Megan machines and shit, and the traditional Western definition of economic and civil development, the very modern concept of civilization as it is broadly used is a culturally specific term to a culture that has managed to spread across the globe, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean,
a lot of things that people would say, well, that's just universal humans, and you're like, it's not, though.
No,
are the not. Things I'm talking
about. Yeah, civilization, that's a big one. You see that lots of places, and I see it as a graduate student reading various things. Civilization is all often talked about. It's often talked about in very positive terms. It's also talked about as if it has a universal definition, right?
And I took a whole senior capstone course on this exact idea, and most of the semester was, here's this really smart, famous person's version of what development is, and here's why that's kind of bullshit. And it was basically a semester of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a, you know, what I'm finding that I experience a lot of thinkers, writers, teachers, whatever, that talk about colonialism and colonizing various things. But when I read what they've written or I hear what they say, they never go far enough. Like, they'll say, well, this is, you know, this is a colonizing these people or this culture or whatever. And I agree, but then they still stick with some of these ideas about civilization and, what is civilizing, and it's all culturally loaded and culturally based. And I just think, how can you only halfway understand this colonizing concept? How can you commit yourself to this notion?
It is a sadly not uncommon viewpoint that obviously slavery was terrible, but the modern descendants of slaves in this country are still probably better off than they would have been had their ancestors stayed in Africa, because just fucking look at Africa, which I'm like, I mean, so many things wrong with that. But one of the big ones is we didn't just steal people from Africa. We also ruined and continue to ruin Africa. Africa was never allowed to develop remotely independently. And what you are seeing are the wounds of shit that we as the West put on them that are still dealing with. Like, everything that's a problem there, and not all of it is. Also, there's really great parts of Africa. But insofar as there are things you could cite that are problematic in Africa, you can trace it back to when we went there and tried to make them do what we wanted them to do, and or just stole their shit and people.
Right. And one of the things, there are a few concepts I've noticed that these people who claim to be anti-colonialist and imperialist and wanting to root out all of this colonizing, there's a couple concepts that they buy in, that they still buy into, that I think prevents them from, you know, doing it as thoroughly and completely as they could. And one of them is they seem to persist in this notion that the further back you go, the dumber and more savage people get.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's this, right? So there's this idea. They just persist in this idea that if, you know, in, well, they'll, for example, they'll use terms like, this is a primitive people, or, you know, this was these pre-industrial people, and they'll say a bunch of kind of disparaging things about them. And you're like, wait a minute. These, if you look at these cultures, they're extremely sophisticated. They have technology. They have ways of preserving information over generations. I mean, there's nothing inferior. Truly, yep. I'm not being politically correct. I'm saying from a scientific, sociological perspective, there's nothing inferior about this group compared. These people just do it different than these people. And that's a fact.
Well, yeah. So, and at a certain point, we started defining social success. And that's part of the problem, because these societies didn't achieve the things we do. I mean, there are cultures out there who I remember studying in my anthro classes, and it was like, yeah, these people, oh, they're subsistence workers. You know, they just get what, and I was like, yeah, they average a 3-day or 3-hour workday. And then they just sort of hang out and do what they want or make art or whatever. And I was like, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. Now, so one of the big things that they use is a justification to judge this culture superior to this one or whatever. There are things like infant mortality, right? Yeah. Like, you know, our infant mortality is better. Well, okay, that's good. I'm not disputing that. But you can't take one or two measures like that and then say, well, they're primitive. They're inferior. And
also, it leads to major overpopulation issues, which a lot of these other cultures don't have.
Sure. But also there's this idea that they hated their own existence, right? Like they you know, they were miserable people. No, they're not.
Well, and miserable. In some cases, extant cultures were taught that and grew up believing that actually hating their culture, because they were told by, you know, the culture who came in and took over that their culture was bad.
Let me give you an example from the stuff I'm learning. So I'm taking a crisis. The class is about crisis intervention. And one of the theories that was put forth, which was not directly put forth in the material, this was something that was brought up in a discussion. So I'm not going to be able to say where the theory comes from or who it is. I can just a little bit describe what the theory is kind of about. And it describes two types of coping with crisis. One is avoidant, where it suggests that these people avoid dealing with it. And the other is not avoidant, and it's accepting. And when these two groups of people are described, the accepting ones are the ones that kind of, they don't actually do very much about it. They kind of roll with it, and it's like, well, you know, these things happen. And the supposed avoidant group, you know, has rules and rituals they might go through to cope with it. And I thought, how is that avoiding it? I mean, that's just them dealing with it, you know, in their particular way. In fact, you could say these people are avoiding it because they're not talking about it. They're not really doing anything about it. And I mean, it's clearly it's not bothering them, I guess, but you can't just arbitrary.
It seems like a poor word choice.
Well, not just that, but it's, they clearly want to say one is superior than the other, right? They're making these incredible cultural judgments, but it's put forth as a scientific theory of how people deal with crisis. And this is in a, this is in the context of a instruction in a class that, first of all, is graduate school. Second of all, it's human behavioral science graduate school. Third of all, they make a huge deal out of multiculturalism and being sensitive to other cultures. And yet all of that stuff being true, this is still taught as acceptable way to evaluate how people deal with crisis. It's not acceptable. This is completely wrong to think of this group as this group is being adaptive and this group is being maladaptive, when they're just dealing with the thing in two different, perfectly acceptable, as far as I'm concerned, perfectly acceptable ways. But you get this all the time. I mean, you know, this is 2022. I am a graduate student, you know,
No, I'm assuming when they brought this up, they then paused and said, okay, William, you want to complain? I'm assuming they all know you well enough now that they just were like, William, what's your problem with this one?
I did complain.
I thought you might.
But and there was a little back and forth, because I don't think at first I was, I'm terrible at explaining these things very well. And so there's a little back and forth, but when they understood what my point was, they kind of said, yeah, you're kind of right about that. But I mean, it didn't stop it from being something that was taught in a modern course. You know what I mean? It just seemed, I don't have a problem with it being taught it in an historical context. Like, well, people used to think this. Clearly a mistake. It wasn't. I had to come up and say, this old white guy had to say, hey, you guys, this doesn't seem right, does it? If you really think about it.
I mean, it's good when an old white guy can stand up and tell people how things should be done. We try and get a lot of that. I mean, it's good. It's good that you're doing your part for the team.
I mean, Queen Elizabeth just died and
did she?
As much as we might respect her and feel sad about it, I mean, at the end of the day, the British sovereign kind of represents all of the things we're complaining about.
And I mean, right, I got to be honest, dying is one of the most conflict avoidant behaviors I've ever encountered.
But I am sad.
Couldn't even take it. Just died. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the tail end of the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast out there who might genuinely be your news source for all the things happening in the British royal family. And if that's true, you need to get your shit together. We barely count as entertainment. You should not be getting any news from us. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 599. I can't believe it.
I can't believe you still look confused for a second after I said, I'm Tony. I'm like, does he forget his name? I'm like, no, he's just thinking of the number. And I'm like, no, We had a big fucking talk about the number. What are you forgetting?
But episode 600 is next week.
I know. And all indications are that we are going to do fuck all to celebrate.
Wow.
I mean, I think we'll still record an episode, but.
Amazing.
That's about it.
What is wrong with us?
I mean, so we literally don't have enough time in the episode to address that. The McElroy Brothers is an advice show, and people send them emails with questions, and they magically turn them into wisdom in the hopes that it will help people. But they're not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I've never seen it. Also, their show is not for kids, which is generally mentioned so that all the babies who are listening will know how cool they are. What's up, you cool baby? I decided to mix it up this time. I'm going to explain a different podcast. instead of explaining this one. So that's how that show works.
I mean, it does sound like a better podcast.
I mean, it objectively is. But you can listen to more than one. And I still have it. Maggie is saying things on YouTube and other places I haven't known. I am psyched. Like, I feel like I've been working on a 12-year prank that has finally gone off.
Mm.
Because from what I can tell, Maggie accidentally stumbled on our page because we mentioned Hatsune Miku. And she doesn't know us at all. And now she's listening. And don't get me wrong, it feels evil to do that to a stranger. But I'm also psyched. Because, I mean, I don't want to say we have a new fan, but we have a new victim of Stockholm Syndrome, I guess. Who is watching or listening. I guess watching, because she usually comments on YouTube. And that's very cool. And also sad for her, because she just got caught in a trap. And now, I feel bad and good about that. But
she watched Inquire Within.
No!
Well, I sent you an email about it. Did you not see it? Yeah. The new one, to the new email address. But she didn't say much about it. She just said,
are you sure you sent it to me? I didn't see nothing.
I mean, I'll look right now, but I'm pretty sure.
I'll check later, but maybe they put you in spam again.
Oh, come on. You told it to do that. You just don't want to say.
If I knew how, I would.
Let me see where it is.
Don't say the email out loud.
Sent. What is that? Oh, the Pizza Hut commercial with Gorbachev in it. There's that.
You did send that.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I'm still a little really impressed by that. I don't see it. Maybe I didn't send it.
Maybe you imagined it. Or maybe I did. I did notice there are new comments up there on both YouTube and the blog that I haven't looked at yet. So she may have mentioned it there. But that is very cool. Welcome, Maggie. I think we already did that. But it's not only are you the first fan we've ever had who doesn't know us, you're currently arguably the most active listener on our podcast.
That's really weird,
a fake podcast. But we're a fake podcast who's been faking it for 12 years. So, okay, 11 and a half years. I am jumping the gun on saying 12 years. We're in our 12th year.
I
mean, that's it.
I can't. That's weird. I was sure I forwarded it to you, but I guess I'm
so
not.
Other than considering global culture and lamenting the death of Queen Elizabeth II and yelling at teachers, how's your week been?
I didn't really yell at any teachers. Well, I mean, it's just, it's just been, how's my week been? It's just,
that's what I say.
It's not been great because it's just been school. You know, we did watch though, Resident Alien.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Well, I thought the first season was really good.
I don't know if I have access to it because I don't have any TV channels, so I don't think I do. Well, Sci-Fi likes to do a thing where they don't let you watch stuff streaming unless you subscribe to their channel.
Well, you can get it on Peacock because that's where we watch it.
Oh, okay. Free Peacock or premium Peacock?
I think we went ahead and paid for it so that we didn't have to watch ads. We don't. There were no ads with it, so we must have.
Okay, then I'm probably fucked. But that's
but I liked the first season quite a bit. The second season is, it's watchable. You know, I'm not sorry to watch it, but they just don't have the same. You know, sometimes when we're watching it, I just feel like, did they get a whole different shaft of writers or what? But
it is very interesting to see that we just started season 2 of Hacks, and they have pivoted hard to an ensemble show. It's like all the same people, all the same situation, but we spend a lot more time without our main characters, with these other characters. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I don't know what really happened. It's just, but I mean, like I said, it's not bad. I mean, if the first season had been the same quality as this one, I probably would have still liked it. It's probably mostly just because the first season was so, so very good. And then the second season is just,
that'll get you.
It'll just, it's, you know, I would still recommend
that you've seen what it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. The Good Place had not been awesome all the way through, you know, like if the second season had just been good instead of great, it still would have been good. And you would have felt bad for not liking it because it's like, this isn't bad at all. It's just not like the first season, but they kept a good, consistent quality the whole way. I thought
I have a very similar circumstance this week. Last night we watched Nope.
Oh, okay. How was that?
The third Jordan Peele writer, director, head movie, which is not technically out. I spent, I just unplugged my computer somehow. Whatever. We'll be done soon. It'll be fine. We spent $20 to rent it.
Ooh, wow.
It's in an early access stage, so you can't buy it yet, and it's cost a lot, but there it is. And it is a good movie. It's not Get Out or Us.
Mm.
It's not that kind of movie. It's not it's not nearly as intense. It's not as scary. It's not as tight. Those, his previous two movies, just every moment of it felt like it was supposed to be there, and it all felt together. And if a part was confusing, you'd get there. Like, it was all, and this was good. I mean, it was a good, sort of action horror thing, mostly action, I would say. It wasn't super scary, but I mean, it had that sort of element. And I don't think it was meant to be other. I think it was meant to be an homage to a certain sort of older type of movie. The performances were still great. The writing was still quite good, but it wasn't what those were.
Mm.
So I think it is a good movie, and I do recommend it to pretty much everyone who might be into that kind of thing. Comparing it to Get Out and Us, it's awful.
Yeah, but that's sad, right?
It's an incredibly high bar, because again, I think this movie is good. I think you should see it. Within its genre, and especially within things that have come out lately, it is right up there. It's very good. But if you in your head are comparing it, it's not even close, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's exactly what this show is like.
And I'm trying to be really good about it, because I don't think it's fair. I don't want to be like, oh, he's lost his touch. But no, it's a different thing. And it is tough. It would have been less hard if this was the second movie.
Mm.
Because Get Out felt like lightning struck. And mm-hmm. to be fair, I like Get Out a lot more than I like Us. But Us still got me. Us still had me focused. Us still had hairs going up on my arms at certain times. Us still had me thinking for hours afterwards about it and rehashing it days later and shit. That's not going to happen with Nope. It's a good movie. I might see it again sometime. It's not sticking with me. It's not changing my perspective. It's not making me ponder things. It definitely has some social commentary buried in there. I shouldn't say buried. It's pretty obvious, but it's not as direct and pointed and just sort of coding everything. Like, I love that the first two movies were like really good horror movies. Just as that, they also were pitch perfect allegories. in just like such a clear and polished way. And both of those, either of those things is a huge accomplishment. And both of those things happening at the same time in two different movies is amazing.
Yeah.
Two different, largely unrelated movies is amazing. This movie is a good action horror movie with some good performances and some underlying social commentary that is interesting. That's it.
I think it's kind of like his Twilight Zone work where I want to see more of it. I haven't seen a lot, but.
And he froze up. He's not here anymore. William, if you can hear me, you froze up. You look like a dork. You're just frozen, kind of. Except, historically, you aren't frozen in the recording. And so people on YouTube right now just see me talking at you. And you're probably moving and talking back, and they're hearing, and I look like a dork. Because I'm trapped in a room alone. So, but yeah, I would still recommend Nope to people. William, what do you have to say? Oh, and he left. This is rough. I'm not good on my own. I need him to show off my brilliance. Yeah, we started the second season of Hacks. It's still very good. We were still doing the third season of Orville. I think Trish might be stopping. It's not great. I'm still watching it because I so dearly love Star Trek, The Next Generation, and it's clearly just trying to be that, so that's good. But I don't know that I recommend it to anybody, but I said that before. Let's just pull up the old phone here and see if we can find him. I'm just going to say we're still recording. You should come back. And then a big cheesy grin. So how are the rest of y'all? I mean, are you having a good time? You know what I have going on tonight? I have to go for a sleep study. Not looking forward to it. I have to go for one in the hospital, which they suck. Nowadays, you can do a lot of them at home. I cannot. I don't know why. I'm being punished, I guess. It has been over a decade since I've done it. It's in a different location. I imagine it will be better, but I still don't enjoy it. Luckily, if I sleep like shit, it's Friday. I don't got a job. I'll just sleep on Friday. But my wife is making me go. We have a deal. When you sleep in the same bed with the person, you get to tell them if you think there's a problem with their sleeping. That's how Trish went in for her sleep study. And this is why I'm going back for a second one. Because Trish is like, your CPAP's great. You kick your legs a lot at night. And that seems bad. So that's why I'm going in. Because your partner can judge things sometimes from the outside that you can't from the inside. And we've got insurance that'll handle it pretty well. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, at this point, he's not responding to text. So I'm starting to think there was a tactical nuclear strike on his house. I mean, yeah, so I went to visit the in-laws this weekend. That was nice. Had a little bit of party, saw some more distant relatives I hadn't seen in a while. That was fun. Oh, look, he's coming back. Hey, hey, hey there, big guy.
Shut up.
How's it going?
Internet went out for a little bit.
I texted you.
Well, yeah, I didn't get it because the internet was out.
Don't you have a cell signal?
I don't have my phone here.
Well, that'd do it. You probably did get it somewhere else.
Oh.
I texted you on the... I've been recording the whole time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We've been keeping going. Talking about you. You'll have to watch the podcast to see.
I don't have time to do that.
It's exciting. Yes, you do. You watch every episode.
I haven't watched the last like three or four. This quarter has been so bad. I can't even...
Wait. You stopped watching and Maggie started watching.
Yeah, we've never been in the same room together, so.
And either of you could be Batman.
Yeah, I haven't watched the last several.
So. All right. Well, I do think it's about time to wrap it up anyway. I mostly want to hold out so people wouldn't think you're dead because I did at one point suggest that there was a tactical nuclear strike on your house. So.
You don't live that far away.
It's very tactical. I said your house. I didn't even say your neighborhood. Like, this is no.
Okay.
So, you know.
My apologies. Could be.
I think the bomb in Dark Knight Rises was supposed to have a 6-mile blast radius. I'm more than 6 miles from you, aren't I? Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't have been fun.
I think you're 8 miles, so you might have been safe from being immediately vaporized, but you wouldn't have been safe
the Batman bomb. By the Dark Knight Rises bomb. I still maintain that movie sucked.
It did.
Really a lot.
Your house still would have caught on fire.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
There's a lot of mold in these walls. I don't know that it might make it fire retardant. All right. Thank you for listening. Listen again next week. It's going to be episode 600. That'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com. Tell us your thoughts there. Please write in. Some people have now, and we have a couple things, but we always need more. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Write about whatever you want. I mean, we're getting some weird ones now. So, you know, just cut loose. Do what you want. I'm going to mock you, but I'm going to mock you regardless. So I don't think it matters. Addy writes in, and he ain't got no thumbs or anything. His are mostly just like, and that's it. But he sends it in. So do that and go to aethertheater.com and check out all that stuff. Go to smashwords.com and buy my book, Odd Wings. Lovely book, only costs $3. Great summer read. Summer's almost over. Or as the 12-year-old told me the other day, summer is over. And I was like, yeah, like for you, but it's not. Never mind. So, and otherwise, just listen next week because, yeah, we'll do it again for 600. I was thinking earlier today, is it possible that the band is called LED Zeppelin and we've just never known?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.